Where did United Airlines go wrong? And then where did it go wrong again? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton does an autopsy of United's PR nightmare that's still playing out. Up next, two marketing consultants talk about zombie businesses and how to avoid them.
Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. We do appreciate you giving us a listen. Let's talk about zombies. Zombies are confused, haphazard, and indistinguishable. And that's great if you're writing a film or a TV series. But if you're a business with those traits, well, you're walking dead. This week, we talked to the authors of The Zombie Business Cure, How to Refocus Your Company's Identity for More Authentic Communication. So do you ever remember a zombie being articulate, maybe even transparent? No, you don't. I'll help out there. Zombies lack awareness and consideration of others. They are not patient, calm, or deliberate. But businesses had better be. Here's part one of two of my interview with the authors.
Julie Lellis, associate professor in the School of Communications at Elon University.
Right on.
Melissa Eggleston, UX researcher and content strategist.
There are so many places to start with this, but let's just start with the zombie business career. Let's just start with your title for your book. How did you come to this? I mean, I have to say, your choice of the word zombie, it's an attention grabber. It's a really good marketing term. Is that how you went there? You were like, how are we going to sell these books the fastest? Well, let's put zombie in the title. Or is it something more?
I think it's deeper than that. I think we were definitely talking about organizations being fully embodied. And so we were looking for a metaphor that really worked with kind of the core idea that we wanted to get by, which is having a more human identity. And so it definitely stemmed from that. And we started looking at zombie traits and how they're very similar to businesses that behave in reckless ways. And it sort of evolved from that.
Well, what I remember is I remember sitting across from Julie and she kept just using the word embodied about how businesses really need to embody their values and be fully themselves and that sort of thing. And she said, Julie, you're really making me think of zombies. And we were like off the races from there.
Right on. Yeah, I'm glad it went a lot deeper, obviously. It is a catchy phrase, I have to say. Before we get into case studies, especially United Airlines being a recent example, maybe Uber, we could touch on that maybe. But in a more macro kind of way, do you find that there is someplace along a business's life cycle that it tends to get a little zombified? Like, is it mature? Is it resting? Does it have a few good quarters right in a row? I mean, I don't know if you found this in your analysis or not, but that's what the first thing I thought of when I saw zombie business cure means, that like maybe somebody who's kind of like coasting.
I think you can have zombie-like behavior at any point in your maturity as a business, right? So some businesses struggle just to even start. I know Melissa has worked with businesses in more of a startup development phase, and maybe she can speak to that. But some start with a more zombie-like state at the beginning where they don't know who they are. They can't figure that out. And then other businesses have been around a long time, and they've been doing the same thing over and over again, and they just sort of lose their way or sort of lose sight of their values.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would definitely say that that is the case with startups, that oftentimes they're so busy doing so many different things, they can forget that their values are really important for laying the foundation for culture, for laying the foundation for the communication, that sort of thing. But also in the book, we talk about Charles Schwab and how, you know, they're a very successful company that's been running for 40 years. And when we interviewed executives from there, they really talked about when they lost their way and things went downhill, it was because they got away from their values. And they were trying to communicate things that were too complicated. And when they went back to their core message and their core values, things settled out.
That's interesting. So let's draw the distinction between positioning and branding. So when you mentioned Charles Schwab right there, I was going to use Amazon as an example. I'm glad you provided Charles Schwab. Thank you. Would you say that Charles Schwab has never veered into zombie land, or that they identified it and aggressively got aligned and put itself back in the marketplace?
So I would say that at some point, and it actually I think was in the 90s, if I'm remembering correctly, they did forget their values and they got more complicated actually in their pricing structure. So it's interesting because a business decision affected their communication around this pricing structure. And in the past, it had always been very simple, very clear to clients. And so they veered off into zombie land and then recognized pretty quickly they were confusing clients. People weren't understanding what they were about and that sort of thing. And that's exactly kind of what zombies do. They confuse people. People aren't sure what to do around them. They're disconcerting, that sort of thing. And that's not the kind of feelings that, you know, people in financial services want you to have, certainly. But they got back on track by going back to the founder and thinking again about, like, why did we start this company? What is the thing that really distinguishes us? And we need to get back to those core values.
It's interesting how internal messaging can kind of fall apart. Is that part of your analysis whenever you look at a company that may be getting zombified?
we see that it's a great example with United, right? So the internal messaging during the United case when they pulled a passenger off the airplane was very aggressive from the CEO and didn't quite reflect what they were communicating outside of the organization. And with the way we see everything publicly today, you can release an internal memo or a letter. We have a case in the book about Yahoo and how that an internal memo got released to the press. And so we also see that with politics. And so there are a lot of examples of how internal communications has a dramatic effect on external view of the organization. And so they're intertwined today. So I think messaging has to be consistent both inside and outside, and they have to be consistent with each other, if that makes sense.
Sure. And it seems like your MarCom team has to almost be cracking the whip or herding cats, because people fall off messaging so quickly sometimes, especially with public-facing companies. And you mentioned United, high-profile company, and that's going to help me pivot into something I wanted to ask you. And we're speaking with Julie Lellis, by the way, and Melissa Eggleston. They are co-authors of The Zombie Business Cure, and they're expert marketers. Now, with United, what stood out to me with that case study was the social media factor. Is that playing into your... I don't know. I guess you'd say your advice to companies to be agile and / transparent, or am I misusing those words? I'd like to know in your voices how social media is playing into the non-zombification.
We talk a lot in the book about flexibility, and that's the key to being successful with social media. You've got to be monitoring it at all times. We have a great case study about how Chevy used social media to sort of repair something that had gone wrong on television. And so there are a lot of ways that social media can be used positively to sort of repair zombie behavior, but there's a lot of zombie behavior happening on social media because customers are having immediate interactions with the company in the public sphere.
It's hard to have a large company, especially, on board with values and messaging throughout everybody. Like, that was one of the biggest challenges that was explained to us by the chief marketing officer at Schwab. And they do a lot of onboarding at Charles Schwab to help their employees be able to speak about the company in a consistent way, so that whether they're at a cocktail party or on social media or, you know, giving a presentation, the messaging is consistent.
You have five wonderful chapters in the book. One is mindful. We've kind of touched on that. We've talked about stable a little bit, flexible just now, but original and giving. And the giving one is something I'd like to extrapolate if we could. When you're looking at a company externally as a marketing consultant, you're coming in, how do you relay the message of giving to your C-levels or even for alignment throughout the company?
I think you can show examples. If you look at one of our examples, HubSpot, we bring up in the book. And HubSpot is a very successful business, and they give away a lot of information that would make it easier to do some marketing on your own, right? So they are in the marketing industry. And so by giving away that information, it makes you feel like you don't necessarily need them. But customers are intrigued, and they engage with the company before they make a purchase decision. So it can really help create a relationship without any loss on either side, in the sense that these are going to be longer term relationships.
I would say that giving also just ties into our ideas of social reciprocity. So when we give to somebody else, there tends to be inclination, let's say, to give back to the person as well. So if we just think about our, you know, companies, even if they're really large ones, being groups of humans who are then being giving to another group of humans, individuals, it's more likely that that's going to be a positive relationship back and forth if you kind of kick off the giving.
I agree with you that the human inclination is to help others, you know. But at the same time, that's a fine line, isn't it? Because you could lose your value prop if you're a little bit too open, if you open the kimono a little bit too far, if you will.
It's true. I think my experience is that clients worry too much about that. Because just because you have the information doesn't necessarily mean that you can apply it appropriately. It doesn't mean that you actually have time to apply the information appropriately. You can really disclose a lot of your secrets, if you will, or just proprietary information, and people can benefit from it. It's a way to demonstrate your expertise. But many people won't have the time or ability to actually apply it to their individual situation. They very well may still need your services.
That was part one of two of my chat with the co-authors of The Zombie Business Cure. First was Julie Lellis. Julie is an associate professor and associate department chair in the School of Communications at Elon University, where she teaches in areas such as strategic writing and health communication. Also, we had Melissa Eggleston. Melissa is a content strategist and user experience specialist with clients throughout the United States. Both of those women are communication experts. For a link to the podcast, go to kgoradio.com/techonomics, please. Or you can just search for us on Audio Boom, Stitcher, or iTunes. I am Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.